And we also agreed that this issue needed to be revisited before this fall. There was a lot of interest in what Dr. Monique Landry talked about this morning, having a verbal consent only required for 14-year-olds in Quebec. Karen Pilak pointed out that this was discussed with the informed consent working group under the BCISC, and at this point we all agreed, again, to maintain the best relationships with schools, that we would just stay with the way it is now. However, we did talk about that generally change starts with baby steps and small incremental approaches, and that if individual nurses wanted to explore that option with their school, they could. However, Linda McCannell pointed out that mature minor consent, in fact, can sometimes be much more time-consuming than just assigned parental consent. So that was the discussion regarding that. We had a very good question regarding what do you do if you have a parent come into your clinic or your office and say that I want my child to be immunized, but my husband or my wife does not. And we decided to just go ahead and immunize that child. It's no problem. Right, Fiona? Rats. No, in fact, if you did, you could be sued for battery. And Fiona shared with us that there was a case like that in BC where a nurse didn't actually go against consent but had believed that she had received consent, and the family did sue. And Fiona, I didn't actually ask you, what was the outcome of that? You said the family had sued the nurse.
The family unfortunately did sue. The court found that there had been a battery but awarded nominal damages.
Okay.
So because, of course, there really was no harm to the child, but the family did really stand on principle, I'm afraid, in that case.
So then we'll make a blanket policy recommendation that when a parent comes in, you should just say to them before they say anything, don't tell me if your spouse disagrees with you being here today. No, I'm just joking. Fiona told me to just let this go. I really had to let that go. Okay, the third question was, what happens, this was very interesting, if at this time of year, often health units get calls from parents requesting their child's immunization records because their child is going to school, to university or college in the U.S. or even in Canada, and or camp, summer camp, and those institutions are requesting immunization information. And Fiona stated that the Freedom of Information Act provides that if a minor has the capacity to consent for release of their records, that they are, in fact, the only ones who should ask. Again, it was pointed out that the Informed Consent Working Group did look at this, and that when we look at the informed consent records that we have, that this is consent for immunization that we're seeking and not for release of information, and that is a records issue and a health authority decision. But the discussion was that we might have to eventually move towards two signatures on the consent form, one for consent and one for release of information. Very interesting. And just some practical, I think, applicability that generally speaking, we shouldn't be releasing records to parents from whose children are about 13 years of age and older, and that one practical suggestion was that perhaps the teenager could call themselves and request that information. Did Monica or Karen, do you want to add anything to that? No? Okay. There was some just discussion around the presentation yesterday about the influenza immunization of healthcare workers in Seattle, and just I guess a reminder that it was a facility policy and not legislation. With the Public Health Act in BC, you can't force someone to be immunized. This is, I guess, an aside. But there are provisions that that if there's a public health emergency, or if someone is putting the public at a health risk, they can be ordered to be in isolation, and if they fail to stay in isolation, they can receive a detention order until they are no longer a risk to the public. There was a more desire for sharing of information, particularly between health authorities and First Nations, and desire to remove obstacles within legislation, coming to solutions that make frontline workers' jobs easier. And Fiona just gave us hope that the new Public Health Act will assist in this matter and take modern world needs, such as huge amounts of data sharing that is required, into account. And I think I've summarized it. It was a very interesting discussion, and again, we're just thankful that Fiona could be here with us today.
Are there any questions for Andrea? All right, so our next summary will come from Charmaine Enns, and Dr. Enns is going to talk about First Nations issues, immunization, record-keeping registries, and interface to local public health.
So thank you. I'm actually going to give the pearls to those topics. So yeah, I'm a bullet type of gal. So here we go. We had the three presentations in our time together, and the first was on immunization coverage in British Columbia. Shannon Waters led that discussion. And the take-home messages from that discussion were that, in fact, for the under 2-year-olds, immunization coverage for First Nation children is comparable to non-First Nation children in British Columbia, and that is a good news story. We did feel, though, that we can still do better than that. Just because we're all the same doesn't mean we can't raise the bar and do better, and that, in fact, maybe at our next forum, maybe we can have rates for First Nation children higher than non-First Nation children. The point of relationships was reinforced in terms of how critical it is on the ground in order to have the immunization coverage as it is and to continue that and to improve on it. So that was really stressed, that it was probably because of those relationships in community that the rates were as good as they are. Also that there is a challenge and an ongoing challenge of understanding and knowing the denominator and in being able to determine the coverage rates. And lastly, that not having a coordinated, integrated a system of registries or registry is compromising care, because we don't have the information that we need to make good decisions as clinicians. The second discussion was led by Jennifer Williams. It was on Mestemic. Mestemic is a culturally appropriate electronic medical record developed by Cowichan Tribes. It's a really fantastic electronic medical record, which has many modules and components to it. And Jennifer brought it to us to talk specifically about the immunization record keeping. Mestemic actually has the capacity to interface with other systems, for example, with Panorama. That obviously hasn't happened yet. Mestemic was created before IFIS, and it's continually undergoing iterations of evolution and changing and becoming better all the time. And it has now made its way into Manitoba, and many communities in Manitoba are using it. So it's a really lovely system. And again, just to emphasize it, the cultural appropriateness of it, which it makes it a very high uptake for use. And thirdly, our last discussion was on the IFIS, I hate to use the word, but I'm going to, pilot, because I don't want it to go away. This isn't something we want to go away. I don't mean IFIS, I mean the pilot part. But what it is an opportunity for KDC, which is Kwakwaddle District Council, First Nation Health Employed Nurses, to access IFIS immunization module. And there are two, right? Only two in the province? Seabird and on the island?
But there's a third now.
Oh, great. So there's a total of three First Nation Health Employed organizations or First Nation Health Employed Nurses that are having access to IFIS immunization module. And on the island, there is a relationship between VIHA and the KDC. So we talked about that project. And just to highlight the pros and the cons, we always have to start positive, so I'm going to start with the pros. That the words that were used were, it has regained the window of opportunity to provide vaccine. So it's actually empowered the KDC nurses to provide the vaccine when that patient is in the office. But because before, you can imagine how cumbersome and actually obstructive it was that that nurse would actually have to phone another nurse in another office or someone to access the IFIS record, or they didn't have a paper record. But now when the child is there, they can look it up, they can make the decision, and they can provide the vaccine. So there, that opportunity has been reestablished. And it was emphasized more than once on how positive this has been in terms of the efficiency and improving patient care, and how it has improved the relationship between the VHA and the KDC nurses in a way that wasn't there before, and that was also a very, very positive and empowering step. In terms of cons, they were